Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5 o'clock hour of Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. It is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. About an hour and 2 minutes, you can fire up the Funky Buddha. I sent out a little Instagram picture this weekend. I was outside Saturday. It was such a beautiful day. I was outside enjoying a Funky Buddha Floridian, reading a book, making the most of my time. And then, you know what was shocking? The number of people that Instagram me back, pictures of themselves drinking a Funky Buddha, doing whatever they were doing on a Saturday. So
If I sent out a picture every time I drank a Funky Buddha, y'all would get tired of me.
The only way to get you active on Instagram, if that was the rule.
Monday, this hour, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
This hour is always brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. We have a very interesting 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Rick Folbaum. If you remember the name, if you recognize the name, you'll remember he was the anchor for the CBS 4 News here for several years, 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock news, and now he's the anchor for CBS News in Atlanta. But Rick Folbaum went through coronavirus. He got diagnosed. He had a very bad case of it. Now he's on the mend, and he's going to share his story with us in about 15 minutes, and that's going to be fascinating because to hear it from a firsthand account from someone that we know will make it interesting. There is some stuff going on. I think the biggest story going on in the sports world headlines is the way the NFL draft is going to be held. It has been made official by Roger Goodell. That'll lead off Solana's headlines. Let's get to headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Yep. So Roger Goodell did send out a memo explaining that the NFL draft, which will take place this month, April 23rd through the 25th, for every team will be a virtual draft. There were guidelines in the memo that Roger Goodell sent out, specifically no group gatherings for the NFL draft. That includes GMs, owners, players, and coaches.
Right. So Adam Schefter had tweeted out, NFL teams cannot gather at one person's home, each person for him or herself during the draft. So that's the way it'll transpire.
So when the Dolphins are on the board, we're going to stare at Chris Greer?
Like I would imagine you'll see like a quad box almost on like you see on Red Zone Channel. So you'll see Chris Greer in one box. You'll see Brian Flores. Yeah, you would imagine they'll be talking to each other on the phone. And then you'll have, I read over the weekend that, because ESPN and NFL Network broadcast the draft, but I was reading over the weekend that they're actually going to kind of combine their units to make it an easier broadcast. So you'll have, you know, Rich Eisen from NFL Network and ESPN coverage with, who does the ESPN coverage? I guess it's what's the dude's name with the hair that cost you the money?
Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper. Not that he cost you the money, because he's not the one. He's not the one that got arrested. You did.
He told me I was going top 20. I took out $1 million credit line. If he didn't tell me I was going to Green Bay at 20, I would never have taken out $1 million credit line. It's his fault.
By the way, speaking of Crowder's draft day story, over the years we have had amazing draft day stories from Gino Toretta to Brady Quinn to Tuan Russell to Rondae Gadsden, It goes on and on, and we're going to put them all together for you in a special that'll air the week of the draft, so that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday leading up to the draft, we have a great special for you on this show where we'll look back at some of what I consider to be fascinating draft stories. I mean, you remember Tuan Russell's draft story last year when he told us?
Didn't they call the wrong guy?
Yep. I mean, it's like I'm telling you, the draft stories that you're going to hear – Gino Toretta coming off a Heisman Trophy win and then drops to what, sixth, seventh, eighth round? I can't even remember.
I think it was sixth, I believe.
And obviously everybody knows Brady Quinn's story, but he gave us some nuggets during the telling of the story that we had not heard before. It involves Chipotle. But anyway, I don't want to give it all away, but go ahead, because I want to get to the guaranteed laughs. Go ahead, Solana, with the headlines.
Locally here, the Miami Dolphins announced a virtual 2020 NFL draft party on Thursday, April 23rd, the first day of the draft. If you want to partake, on the official Miami Dolphins fans group page on Facebook is where you can join in on the action.
All right, very cool.
Give me a call, Nat Moore. Give me a call, bro. Y'all don't leave me out of no parties now. I'm going to be hot. Y'all call me for everything else. Don't leave me out of the party, please.
What else, Alana? Anything?
The 149th Open Championship, it was scheduled for mid-July, was canceled today. And Augusta National, they're planning to host the 2020 Masters in November. They had postponed it earlier last month due to the coronavirus pandemic.
All right. Anything else?
Finally, guys, a woman in India gave birth to twins last week. She named them Corona and COVID.
I saw that, but I also saw someone in the United States has named their twins. It was either Corona and COVID or Corona and virus, something like that. Well, to each his own.
Don't you want to forget certain things? Like, you want to keep that around forever?
Me? No, I would not be naming my child Corona, nor like, virus, nor like COVID.
Look COVID. When look COVID's 30, he still got to explain his name to people.
I saw some meme. It was like, tell me again how, when I was born or something. And the dad's looking at the kid and he's like, well, here's how it happened, quarantine.
I'm glad my wife's pregnant already because this would have been a bad situation for us. In bed at 7:30.
You have weather, Solana?
I do have weather right now in South Florida. It is partly cloudy, 81 degrees currently. Tonight, the lows will drop into the low 70s. I told you guys you should expect some spotty showers across South Florida at around this time. I'm looking out the window and I do see some dark clouds moving in, so luckily for me those spotty showers are
right, because a couple hours ago you said spotted showers, which would lead one to believe that there's spotted showers, striped showers, all kinds of different showers.
I mean, the showers column is vast, so
this actually gets me into this guaranteed laugh segment, because we've had myriad producers that can just say things without any kind of basis for it making sense. Do you have a sponsor for weather, or are you done?
No, I mean, you cut my weather report short, but whatever, the floor is yours, Hawk.
Okay, so here's what happened on the show. This was a little over a year ago. Eric Falero was our producer. This is your guaranteed laugh segment for today. So we were talking on the air about Christian Wilkins, the Dolphins draft pick, and how frugal he was. There was a story about how he was making his own lemonade at restaurants. Our own beloved Eric Falero decided to jam in and show how he is also frugal at restaurants, except his example didn't make any sense. There was no money saved, which led me to believe that Falero didn't even understand what frugal meant. So here is that segment in today's Guaranteed Laughs. The Wall Street Journal did a story about Christian Wilkins right before the draft. The headline, you're going to love him: the NFL Draft's Most Frugal Player.
Oh, I love it.
You're going to love this guy. Forget the cliche about lemons and lemonade. Christian Wilkins can make lemonade out of thin air. It's true. At a restaurant, the former Clemson defensive lineman starts by ordering a glass of water. Then he asks for 6 lemon slices. Then he pours in a few sugar packets. Voila, free lemonade.
I like it.
This is what he does at every restaurant.
Yes.
Although I will say, if I go to a restaurant and I want lemonade, I'm ordering a lemonade. I would be embarrassed to say, bring me six slices of lemon and three packets of sugar so I can make my own free lemonade. I feel like that. I feel like that's stepping across some boundary that we shouldn't step across as a society.
Every penny counts.
So, but then just don't get the lemonade.
Stick with
You've
the
never
water.
Done that.
Oh, no, no. And I lose.
You ever done that, Valero?
No. But I do like at like a Cuban restaurant when you get cafe con leche with a toast. Like they bring you that shot of espresso with no sugar. I'll put like a bunch of sugar in there and drink it like a little colada.
So he adds sugar to his coffee?
Yeah. What am I missing?
No.
Were you listening?
At a Cuban restaurant. When you,
I honestly was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what's the story here?
At a Cuban restaurant.
You're not going to believe this.
Okay.
You put sugar in your
Sometimes
coffee.
Sometimes I'll order a coffee.
No, café con leche.
I put sugar in it, and now it's a colada.
Boy, are you living on the edge.
I hate you guys.
But are you paying for the... What'd you get?
It's a café con leche.
Right.
You have to make it. So they bring you, like, they just bring you, like, milk.
Uh-huh.
They just bring you milk, and then they bring you a side of an espresso, like coffee, and then you put the sugar in it. But you have to dip the coffee into the milk, like you have to pour it, and then you put the sugar, and then but what's left of the espresso.
What is he saying?
You guys never go to Latin restaurants.
No, but what are you saying, okay, man?
What, do you pay for any of those items? Do you pay for the
yes,
coffee?
Yes, of
do
course.
Pay for
like
the
a
milk?
Fake Olecha you pay for.
Right.
We were talking about making
but the water, the water and the lemon and the sugar packets are all free.
They're free.
Okay.
Well, not okay.
All right. I got it wrong.
What were you saying, man?
I'm not going to explain it anymore. You guys don't understand. You don't go to Cuban restaurants.
And the caco colesa. And the colata deesa.
It's like saying, I order a Coke. And then I ask for a bowl of maraschino cherries. I put them in the Coke. Hey, guess what? I made a free cherry Coke. No, you didn't. You bought a Coke. And you added something to it, which is what you did. But the texts that came in are funnier than any segment that we've ever done. I mean, it was one after another. Best part of your show is when the unexpected happens. Thanks for the LOL. Valero, what the F?
I'm worried about it.
Oh, my God.
I did make a free item, though.
Poor
I know,
Lero.
But
you paid for a cafe con leche.
But I didn't pay for the cola.
Right, but you didn't get the cafe con leche.
Boom.
Boom.
You paid for a cafe con leche, but you used the parts of it to make something else.
Yeah, a free item.
Right, but you didn't get what you paid for.
But I still enjoy the cafe con leche.
I'm sure you do.
And I get a free colada out of it. So, bingo bango.
Poor Lero, I understood you, but you're terrible at talking. We all love Lero. He's just so special. A pie graph. This guy is too dumb to be true. Great story about Christian Wilkins till Valero screwed it up. Lero has to do this on purpose. LMFAO. Valero has said some stupid crap before, but this takes the cake. Definitely on the Mount Rushmore of stupid crap he said. God bless Valero. I agree with that one. I co-sign on that one.
Yes.
Thank you. I needed that. Oh, I love this show. LOL, you guys never change. Wow, Valero.
It's sad, bro. You got it now, though, right?
It's like a BOGO. Buy one, get one free.
Yeah,
like,
not really, though. Not
but it
really.
Is.
Well, oh, okay, but Christian Wilkins is a buy none, get one free. His total
difference.
Cost is zero. That's what makes him so frugal.
He's got to spend a little bit,
okay,
man.
But
live
no,
life,
no.
You know?
Okay, just change the argument.
There he goes. That,
you learn from Crowder.
Thank you, Crowder.
There you go. I enjoyed that so much. Crowder and I are cracking up in our homes listening to that. It makes me miss Valero so much.
It does.
It's so perfect because he makes no point and then just gives you a boom. It makes like,
bingo,
like
bingo.
He hit a walk-off. Bingo, bango, boom. That was excellent, man. That was great.
Solana ain't much better. So, boy, we inherited something.
Does that make you feel any better, Solana?
Man, Falero was good, man. Oh, he was good.
The pressure's on.
Boom. I just like it. He goes, okay, I didn't get it. Everything he does is just so great. All right. That is your guaranteed laugh for the day. In the next segment, very interested in this. Rick Folbaum, he was the anchor of the 11 p.m. newscast here in Miami on CBS4 for several years, and now he's with CBS in Atlanta anchoring their news. He had a very significant bout with coronavirus. And so we're going to get he's a fan of the show. You listen to us all the time when he was down here. So we're going to get a firsthand update on what it's like to go through that. And Rick Folbaum will tell us his story. So we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk with Rick Folbaum about his bout with coronavirus. That is next on Hochman and Crowder. All right. I'm guessing this is going to be interesting because we all, have been living and breathing coronavirus news, and this dude has gone through it. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Rick Folbaum, as I said at the beginning of the show, Rick Folbaum used to be a friend of the program. He would call in. We would talk with him. He anchored the 11 p.m. newscast here on CBS4 in Miami for several years. He's worked at CNN and Fox, and now he's the anchor at CBS 46 in Atlanta. And he is now recovered or recovering from coronavirus. He's back at work today, so I'm guessing recovered would be probably the more appropriate word. But he had it, and he's going to share his story with us. He's with us now. Hello, Rick.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for sharing your story. And so I guess I got to start with, how are you feeling? You're back at work today. How are you feeling?
I am feeling much, much better. Every day I feel stronger and stronger. I'm probably about 6 days since the end of my symptoms. So I really am medically fully recovered. My isolation is over, although I'm still, obviously not, going around and out in public, needlessly, but I am cleared to go back to work, and it's great to be on the other side of this. That's for sure.
And Rick, yeah, we're glad you bounced back, man, and we're glad to have you on. I'm sure you've been sick before, Rick. We all have. When did you know it was different? Like, when did it hit you that this is not just a cold, this is not just the flu?
Well, the first little inkling that I had that this was something different was when I went to sleep and woke up about 10 days later. I've been sick. I've been in bed sick. We've all experienced that. You're absolutely right. But this was something different. It was a fatigue that I don't even know how to put into words. I was calling it the corona coma, which is not funny because obviously a lot of people who have it do go into a coma. Mine was not a true coma, but I felt like it was. I was really in bed, and I slept for about 20 hours a day for that first week and a half. And I would wake up and I would try to drink some fluids because that's what my doctor told me to do. I would take some Tylenol because that's what my doctor told me to do. And then he told me to rest, which I laughed because I didn't need that as an instruction. That was happening regardless of what my doctor's orders were.
So when Rick Folbaum is with us, he used to anchor the CBS News here in Miami, now anchors the CBS News in Atlanta. When did it start to kind of resonate in your head? Like, did you have a little sore throat or the chills or something where you thought to yourself, you know what, I may have this? And then obviously I know you have a large family. You've got to then isolate from your entire family. And so how did it happen? What was the timeline where you said, ooh, I think I might have it, and then I got to make sure my family doesn't have it? And I don't even know, did anyone in your family contract it?
No, everyone, thankfully. And that was my biggest worry, was that I got one of my kids sick. Thankfully, everybody is fine. And I isolated from them as soon as the symptoms began, which is scary because I was with them for about 2 days before the symptoms showed up. So I can only, you know, guess that I was carrying the virus. The symptoms hadn't started. I wasn't, you know, sort of restricting or isolating myself at that point because I was fine. The backstory is that I went on a vacation with a bunch of buddies of mine. It's an annual ski trip that we take that maybe we should have skipped this year, given the headlines. But we were excited to go, and we went out to Vail, Colorado for this great, great ski vacation. And it was while we were there that all of us got sick. Everybody I went on that trip with, all of my buddies, got sick with the virus. Not all of them were tested, but because they were with me and I was tested, they just presumed that they had it as well. And certainly listening to their symptoms, very similar. I got back from the ski trip, and like I said, I was with my family. I felt fine. I actually went to work that first Monday back. I think it was the 16th of March or the 15th of March, something like that. I went to work, and in between my newscasts, I had a half hour break. I went back to my desk and I put my head down. I just got sort of, you know, this wave of tiredness came over me. I put my head down just to sort of, you know, take a little bit of a rest before my 6 o'clock newscast. Well, I had to be woken up to do the 6 o'clock news. My producer, I'm sure you've had your producer screaming at you. My producer was screaming my name across the newsroom to tell me that the 6 o'clock news was about to start and I had to get into the studio. But that was my first indication that there was something wrong, because I don't get tired like that. Then the other symptoms that I had, once I went home immediately, and it was while I was home that I started to get the coughing and the tightness in my chest that you've heard so much about. And I had a pain in my ears as well, like an earache on both sides. So I also have a pre-existing medical condition that's under control, but I do have it. So I knew that that made me, you know, potentially more susceptible to this. And my doctor said that I really needed to go down to the local emergency room and that I would get a test because of my pre-existing condition. And that's what happened. I went in there. I told them that I had been on a ski trip. These were my symptoms. I wasn't running a fever, which you've heard probably a lot of other people running fevers. I did not have that. But they did give me a test. And 4 days later, I found out, you know, they told me to go home and isolate myself as though I had it. 4 days later, the test results came back confirming that I did.
And Rick, how was that hospital experience? Because that's one of the, you know, one of the problems with this outbreak was the hospitals being, you know, overflowed, and they're trying to, you know, what they call it, trying to get the peak lower and flatten that, you know, flatten the peak and all that.
Sure.
What was your hospital experience going through this?
Well, I called the hospital. This was pretty early on. I mean, I feel like every day is the equivalent of a month. So it's very, you know, you have to try to remember a couple of weeks back. The emergency rooms, at least here in Atlanta, were not yet being flooded. People were not yet coming down in droves, but I did call ahead. I told them that I was coming and they said, we'll be ready for you. And sure enough, they were. They had a tent. This is a local hospital, Northside, here in Atlanta. They had a tent that was set up outside the entrance. So before you even entered the building, you had to go up to the entry to this tent, where a nurse took my temperature and put a mask on my face before I could even say a word. Took my temperature and put a mask on my face, and then they brought me in. All of the nurses who I came in touch with, and then eventually the doctor who I saw, were wearing the PPE, the protective clothing that is now in short supply in so many places. And they, you know, were very careful about me, again, treating me like I had the virus, even though I hadn't been definitively tested yet. But that's the way they treated me. And I was very lucky. I was very, very lucky. I feel like, you know, the people who are having to deal with this now and people who will be dealing with this in the weeks to come are probably going to have a very different emergency room experience than the one that I had. Mine was pretty calm. But I know from, you know, being a journalist now and being in touch with local hospitals here in Atlanta that they really are beginning to be a bit overwhelmed in the number of patients. Nothing like, you know, some other places like New York, for example, and I know Miami's getting socked, but it's pretty bad here in Atlanta as well. And I hope everybody takes this seriously.
Rick Folbaum is with us. Used to anchor the CBS 4 News here in Miami, now anchors CBS News in Atlanta. More horrific part to me is the isolation from your family, because
yes,
your spouse, obviously, and your kids, they want to take care of you. And yep, you have to go through it alone. I was watching Chris Cuomo describe it, where he had the chills so bad, he was chattering, he chipped his teeth. And, you know, his wife couldn't come in the room and comfort him or help him the way you would do with your spouse for a typical illness. Was that the most difficult part for you? I'm guessing your wife and your family are just beyond a door, right? And but there can be no contact? Yes.
I was able to actually go into a different home. We have friends who have a home that was vacant. It wasn't being used. And so when we found out that I needed to isolate, they offered it to us. And I literally just grabbed, you know, my toothbrush and some clothes. And I went over to our friend's house again, which was sitting empty. It was a perfect situation. You know, not perfect in that I was there by myself, but perfect in that I knew that my kids and my wife were going to be someplace different, and, you know, and they would be safe, and that I wouldn't infect them. And then I just FaceTimed with my kids, you know, some of whom are young and confused by the whole thing and frankly scared by the whole thing, you know, hearing that daddy's sick. But I would FaceTime with them. I'd put on a brave face even when I didn't feel great, and I would try to be daddy over the iPhone, which is just bizarre. But that was the way we did it, and thankfully I have friends and very, very nice people who dropped food off. I honestly didn't have an appetite for the first week and a half or so while I was in that sleeping mode, but that was one of the first signs that I was feeling better, was when my appetite started to come back and my sense of taste and smell started to come back, because I had lost both of those.
And Rick, one thing, you know, I've heard a lot about was the end of it. Like you said, you're past it now. You can go back to work.
Yes.
Like, at the end of it, is there like an exit, you know, assessment when you're all good? How does the end of the coronavirus, what went on there?
Well, the rules that are administered, the guidelines that are issued by the CDC, which my doctor was using and which the company I work for also was going by, that you had to be symptom free for 72 hours without a fever and without having to take any fever reducing medication. So 72 hours without any Tylenol and without a fever, and then you are theoretically, you're medically cured after that. You don't have to worry about spreading the virus. And you can go back, you know, you come out of isolation and start going, you know, to the supermarket and to do, you know, things that you weren't doing before when you were in complete isolation. Now, there are some other studies that are coming out of other countries where they're recommending a longer wait period. But here in the United States, it's 72 hours of symptom-free, feeling symptom-free. And then you can go back about, you know, my doctor said you're cleared to walk about the cabin. After that amount of time.
Rick Folbaum, again, used to anchor CBS 4 here in Miami, now anchors the nightly news in Atlanta for CBS. Finally, any advice to people listening? Any advice on what to do if you think you have it or how to avoid it? What would be your final thoughts?
Well, you know, I've watched very closely what goes on in Florida, having lived there and worked there for so long, and I still have a lot of friends and family in South Florida. I hope that everybody is paying attention to these rules and these guidelines. And this is not a time, you know, I've posted some things and people will write back fake news. You know, people that just don't want to believe that this is as serious as it is. And I really hope that people do not think of this as fake news. Let me tell you, it's the real deal. And you just have to follow the guidelines. But I will say, and I'd love to leave your listeners with this, which is that you can fully recover from coronavirus, and I'm proof of it. So for everybody who is petrified out there about getting it, not that you want it, but the vast majority of people who end up getting it are going to be absolutely fine. I feel well. I've begun to exercise again, so I'm getting, you know, getting my strength and my energy levels back up to where they used to be. And so that would be my parting words of wisdom. Listen to what the health officials are saying, not necessarily the politicians, but the doctors who know the best, and know that if in worst case scenario, if you get this, the vast majority of people are going to be okay. That's important. We're going to get through this together.
Rick Folbaum, again, he anchors now CBS News in Atlanta. He battled coronavirus and beat it. Did you ever have any doubts when you were just sleeping and had your, you know, just your yourself and your thoughts? You ever have any doubts like, man, I don't know if I can beat this? Like, you feel that run down?
The main thing that I was worried about was my breathing, you know, in my chest, because you hear about people needing to go on respirators. And I was just concerned that my chest was going to be an issue, and thankfully it was not. So I just kept taking a deep breath in and counting to 10 to see if I could. That's what my doctor told me to do that several times a day. And that as long as I could do that, it was all right. And he said, if it gets to the point where you can't do that, then call me. And since it never got to that point, I really wasn't scared. I just knew that I needed to ride it out. And I was very optimistic and hopeful that I was going to be okay. And thank God that's what's happened.
And now you should be immune to it, correct?
Yes, I am. Well, there's the test that's going on now with the antibodies for people who have recovered. I'm not eligible for any of those tests yet because you've got to be 14 days symptom free, and I'm not there yet. But I'm hopeful that those of us who have recovered are going to be able to play an important role, whether it's with, you know, the development of some kind of medicine or treatment or vaccine, or even if it's just being able to go out in the community and deliver meals to people who can't get out of their homes because we have immunity. I think the response is going to be overwhelming amongst the population of people like me who have beaten this and now want to go out and try to help others.
Rick Folbaum used to anchor the news here, CBS 4 in Miami, now in Atlanta. Thank you for sharing your story with us. You were very candid, and I would imagine it was as interesting to the listeners as it was to me and Crowder. Thank you, Rick.
Great to talk to you both. My very best to you and your families and all your listeners. Stay safe.
Thanks so much. There you go, Rick Folbaum. That was as interesting as I thought it was going to be, because how often do you get the firsthand account like that? We keep seeing everything on TV. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour, brought to you by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery.
No time now since I could bust into a hop gun.
19 minutes. 19 minutes. The countdown is on. Fascinating segment we just did there with Rick Folbaum, formerly of CBS4. Haven't brought up today, I don't think. We had an expert, I say that with air quotes, Joe Osborne from Odds Shark on Friday with us to give us some gambling advice for WrestleMania. He told us take Brock Lesnar at +225. That was a loser. So there you go. Gave you some gambling advice and it didn't work. And that's really nothing shocking for this show. Coming up tomorrow night on 560 The Joe. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, you got the Panthers. We're going to air some Panthers classics. Florida Panthers take on the Coyotes in one of our great game series. This was the end of a 5-game road trip. Panthers needed a win. You got to tune in to hear the game. Panthers win. That is tomorrow, 6 o'clock on 560 The Joe. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock on 790 The Ticket, the Heat play the Sixers in one of our great game series, a close one from December, and you can hear that game on 790 The Ticket, and that starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Spoiler alert once again, Heat win that game. And you can listen to both those games as well on the radio.com app. Perfect way to listen to the radio station, either one, 560 The Joe or 790 The Ticket on the radio.com app. And I think that about covers all the different things that I needed to cover before I get to the good stuff. Would you like to hear, because we are 2 weeks away, essentially, a little more than 2 weeks from the draft, from USA Today, the 13 biggest draft busts and disappointments in NFL history. This is always a fun exercise come draft time, because we'll get to the Dolphin list, of course. I think everybody's in agreement who the number one Dolphin draft bust is, right?
Deion Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they traded up so high to get him. I mean, how many games did the guy play for the Dolphins? I mean, almost none, right?
How many productive games? Zero. I don't know how many times he wore a jersey, but zero productive games.
I mean, I think that one's in agreement, right? That the biggest draft bust in Dolphins history is Deion Jordan.
Yeah, Jason Allen pops up in my mind just because I don't like him.
Yeah, but that's not – I mean, I don't even think he'd be on the Mount Rushmore because there's – Eric Kumaro, John Bosa.
The running back. What is Jamar?
Oh, Jamar Fletcher.
Or Yetiel Green always
makes
the list.
Oh, Yetiel Green.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, I'm not going to say Ryan Tannehill because I don't want to fire people up. But if you draft someone in the first round, especially a quarterback, you got to hope that there's going to be a playoff victory in seven seasons. But
well,
that's
maybe
a whole other story.
Maybe put a team around him and then see what he does when he has a running back.
Okay, context guy. So here, according to USA Today, the 13 biggest draft busts and disappointments in NFL history. Number 13. Do you want to guess who number one is? Do either one of you want to guess? Most biggest draft bust in NFL history.
It got to be Leaf or Jamarcus Russell.
It is Ryan Leaf. You are 100% correct. He was
people don't understand how terrible Leaf was.
Well, he was drafted second overall by San Diego, quarterback. You don't remember him, do you, Solana?
I don't remember
Didn't
watching
we have
him
on the show? Yes. Did we have him on the show?
Oh, he does all kind of media now. That's his thing.
Yeah. Ryan Leaf picked second overall. He went 4-17 as a starter in the NFL. Think about this. Go. Picked second overall. He went 4-17 as a starter. He threw four in his NFL career with the Chargers, 14 touchdowns, and 36 interceptions.
Oh, my goodness.
He never had more touchdowns than interceptions in a season. He never completed more than 51% of his passes in a season. He never won more than three games in a season.
That is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's
historically
bad.
People like Josh Rosen, like, yeah, he's going to be a backup his whole life. He wasn't what we thought, but people don't understand. Ryan Leaf, like, was out of the league. Like, he wasn't a third stringer. He went from number two in the draft to no one wanted him on his team.
I think Josh Rosen's going to be on these lists in a couple of years. Because remember, Arizona traded up to get him. What number did they take him?
They 10, because we took Minka at 11 that year.
So they traded up into the top 10 to get him. He will never have had I don't think he's ever going to be an NFL starter, like you said. I think he's going to flame out pretty quickly unless we're missing something on him. I think he's going to be on those lists, starting in a couple of years when he's out of the league. Because listen to some of these on the list, top 13. Number 13, Trent Richardson. See, now this to me, again, he was picked third overall, running back. It says he may have had 950 yards and 11 touchdowns in his rookie season, but he needed an absurd. Guess how many carries? Guess how many carries for 950 yards and 11 touchdowns?
100?
267.
He needed 270 carries to get 900 yards?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Who was feeding him the ball?
In his career in the NFL, he averaged 3.3 yards per carry. He was even worse in the AFL with 2.9 yards per carry. That was the Alliance of American Football. Number 12, and that was a Browns pick. Number 12 is a Browns pick as well. Can you guess? You remember who?
Was it Courtney Brown?
Yes, Courtney Brown. You got
Penn State. He was my host on my visit to Penn State.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was a big old fella now, but he ended up being not worth a damn in the league.
First overall pick. Brown's biggest problem was injuries. After a promising rookie season when he had 69 tackles, and 4.5 sacks, he had a rash of injuries in the years that followed. When his career ended after six seasons, he had 19 sacks, 155 tackles.
Woo. And I was an All-American linebacker, and all they had for me to drink was Mad Dog 2020 Banana Red. That's why he failed. Why are you going to do that to me, Courtney?
It's a delicious drink. Number 11, Andre Ware. He was picked 7th overall quarterback. Yeah. Not much to say about Ware because he did so little in the league. He couldn't win the starting job in Detroit, so they cut him after the 93 season. He had brief stints with the Raiders and Jaguars, never played a game for either team.
Damn.
Huh. Brian Bosworth, number 10. Anybody that grew up in the 80s like me, remember Bos was like, that dude was larger than life. And then came into the league and got ran over by Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson stole his soul and his career in a three-second span.
If you use the radio.com app and use the rewind feature, go to about 2:40 this afternoon and you will hear Jay Figg steal my soul. When she comes on, we assigned her some Eddie Murphy movies to watch, and she gave Beverly Hills Cop a 5.5 out of 10. Which is a failing grade, by the way. Didn't like Beverly Hills Cop. And you can hear, it is like an audio representation of Brian Bosworth getting run over by Bo Jackson. You hear it in my voice as I just have to sit there and get ran over by Jay Figg. Number 9 on this list is Blair Thomas, running back out of Penn State. You remember him?
Don't even remember him.
I don't even remember him either.
Yeah.
No, let's see, 1990.
Oh, yeah. 30 years ago, Hawk.
Picked up. Man, feels like yesterday.
we got to remember what we're dealing with here.
Number 8, Tim Couch. Boy, a lot of Browns on this on this list of busted draft picks.
That's why they're terrible.
Yep, Tim Couch, first overall in 1999. He was bad for all of his career. And yet he was just good enough that the Browns stuck with him for 5 seasons. Sound familiar down here? He went 22-37 as a starter, 11,000 yards passing, 64 touchdowns, 67 interceptions. Number 7 is another quarterback, Rick Meyerer. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out of Notre Dame. Terrible. Number 6, Tony Mandarich. Remember him?
No.
He was an offensive tackle. He was so steroided up, and he got picked 2nd overall by the Packers.
They had a 30 for 30 or something on him.
Yes.
Yes.
Watched it a couple weekends ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Just had major drug and alcohol issues, and actually took a few years to get himself clean. Came back and had a good couple year run with the Colts towards the end.
I've told this story before. It was a guy that came in my sophomore year at Florida. He came in as a freshman benching 550. Ooh. And then they told him they were going to steroid test. And he lost about 30 pounds. He couldn't lift the damn weight. His shoulders started popping out of place. He was a college high school transition guy that the steroids got to him too.
Yep. That happens. Like, you saw Tony Mandarich just shrink before your eyes when he got to the NFL.
Yeah.
Number 5 on the list, Heath Shuler. Remember him, quarterback out of Tennessee?
He went high?
He went 3rd overall.
I didn't know he went that high.
Yeah, 3rd overall. Number 4 on this list is Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
The first overall pick.
He wasn't even watching film. He was just playing ball.
Blank tapes.
He was just playing ball.
Number 3 was Akili Smith. Quarterback out of Oregon.
Cincinnati,
he had injuries, though, didn't he? Wasn't it injury flagged, or he was just bad?
He was terrible. I don't know if he got hurt. He was terrible when he played.
Number 2 was Charles Rogers, the wide receiver out of Michigan State.
Yeah, Detroit.
Detroit took him 2nd overall. What they write in USA Today, his lack of production is staggering. He lasted just 3 seasons. He played in just 15 games. He logged 22 receptions for 243 yards and 4 touchdowns. His career was marred by clavicle injuries and substance abuse problems. Yeah, you can't take someone 2nd overall and they're out of the league in 3 seasons after having played just 15 games.
I'll tell you, I hung out with him a little bit in Atlanta. He was an All-American in the strip club. he was a strip club Pro Bowler, fellas. That man could go.
And number 1 is Ryan Leaf. And we'll have plenty of draft lists and draft stories coming up as we approach the NFL draft. An interesting Monday show. Got to thank Dr. Chuck Metzger joining us for a couple of segments and gave us the latest on coronavirus and the local ramifications. Rick Folbaum there was fantastically informative. Highly recommend you listen to that. And Josh Appel came on with us and broke down WrestleMania from the weekend. So excellent show. Thank you, Jay Figg and Alejandro Solana. Of course, let's do it again tomorrow. We will speak with you mañana.
Hey, DiGiorno, I know it's not delivery. We can hear that. Why the hell we can't hear that loud?
Let's track it.
You eat like a raccoon.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need
really
to need, need
that's all, folks.
You need to need need.
Oh no!
Oh oh oh! O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.